Acts chapter number 26, and notice with me in verse number 13. The title this morning is Almost or Absolute. Almost or Absolute. Acts chapter 26, look if you will, verse number 13. The Bible says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we are all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in thee. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. And for these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good word of God. And thank you, Lord, for the promise of your presence. And we do seek and pray and ask you, Lord, to be here in a special way to help us, Lord, for a needy people. Lord, I do pray for your mercy. I pray for your grace. I ask you, Lord, Father, to open our hearts and our minds and our souls that we might have an ear to hear the precious word of truth. That, God, we might take into our hearts the things that are of truth and soberness. And, Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts. We pray for someone here today that may not be saved, born again. Lord, I plead and pray for their salvation. I pray for all of your dear children. God, help us now that we might, Father, grow in the good things of God. Be a brighter testimony. Father, show a greater dedication, commitment to our Savior and the Lord to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Bless us and help us now, Father. We'll thank you and praise you, Jesus' precious name. Amen. We find here by divine providence, the apostle now has an audience with the royalties. He has now been brought before kings and leaders and rulers and even yet shall appear in Rome before Caesar and the dignitaries there. And it became an opportunity God gave him to present the gospel of Jesus Christ in the places he could not have gone. Paul understood something, that his chain was in actuality his liberty. For the chain is what gave him opportunity to be now among these leaders and to share the story of Jesus Christ and the saving gospel. We have here in the scene the three Bible characters. We have a Gentile ruler, a man named Felix. And then we have in Hebrew a Jewish man, a Jewish ruler named Agrippa. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul. We see something interesting, these three characters and their relationship to the gospel record. I want you to notice, first of all, the Apostle Paul gave testimony what happened to him when he heard the gospel. He heard it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ himself on the Damascus Road. And we see, first of all, Paul's conversion. The day he was traveling, a light came from heaven. It was a divine light. It was a heavenly light. It was not a man-made light. It was not an earthly light. It was not a physical light. It was a spiritual light that came from heaven that revealed things that earth and men did not know. It was God Himself who appeared unto Paul. And there the heavenly light shed the truth from that realm of eternity. That the heavenly light shone from regions beyond and above to bring knowledge, to bring truth to man who walked in darkness and did not understand the mysteries beyond the material world. He understood that it was the voice of God. It was the voice from higher. It was the voice from above. It was a greater voice. It was a voice that knew things that no man knew. And that light appeared to him, and then the voice came. And a voice calling out, when he inquired, was none other. The voice from heaven, the voice divine, the voice from God, announced that it was indeed Jesus, the Son of the living God. And there Paul recounts what had happened to him when Jesus Christ had shared with him His plan and purpose in the salvation of men's souls. He said, I have called you and given you a purpose. And that purpose is to carry this message and to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so he sent Paul out to share the gospel story and to tell that men can know forgiveness, that men can have eternal life, and that they can fellowship with God, and they can spend eternity with God, all by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. And so Paul is telling his story, and how he got it, and how he received it when Jesus Christ appeared to him. And we find here Paul, having received this great calling, this great conversion, he went forward, having understood, having learned, having received, he went forward with a great commitment to tell others the truth of the gospel. And so we find here in verse number 19, he said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Notice Paul states something. Even though by divine providence he was chosen and ordained of God, an apostle to the Gentiles, he inserted the fact that he had a free will. Did you notice that? He had a free will. He said, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Now listen, he did not imply that he had no choice. He did have a choice. The apostle Paul served Christ by faith. And listen, he went forward and showed forth his commitment. The Bible said in verse 20 that he began in Damascus and Jerusalem throughout all the coast of the Gentiles. And there he was preaching the gospel of Christ. He was preaching this marvelous, wonderful light, this wonderful voice from heaven that tells men how to be saved and born again. And so the Apostle Paul, I want you to see here, went forth preaching, and we also find out that he was persecuted because of it. The Bible says in verse 21, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, went about to kill me. And having there obtained help of God, I continue this day witnessing both the small and great, saying none of those things than which the prophets and Moses had come. And so I want you to see the Apostle Paul's before these two men. And he's been chained, but that chain's become a liberty. Because now he is brought before these dignitaries and officials to give an account of himself and a defense for what he's been accused. And he's sharing with them God's marvelous plan of salvation and how that he received this marvelous plan. It did not come from men. It came from God, for he saw a supernatural divine light and he heard a heavenly voice, and it was Jesus, and told him of God's plan of how a sinner can be saved and how dying men can have eternal life and be reconciled to a holy God. The Apostle Paul, having received such marvelous truth, went forward with great commitment, and he began to share it. He began to tell it as he went from place to place and city to city. The Apostle Paul was sharing this great truth that God will save the sinner, that God will give eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ, His Son, who died on the cross and was buried, rose again to be the first begotten of the dead. And so I want you to see here, Paul has made this presentation to these two leaders. And then secondly, I want you to see this, Festus' conclusion. After hearing him, Festus had a conclusion. Paul, much learning has made you mad. Not in the sense of angry, but in the sense of crazy. The word would be close to our word crazy. The root word means that you have gone too far, you have become raved, ravenous, that you have become overtaken. That you have become overly passionate, that you have become a fanatic. You've heard that word, haven't you? Oh, yeah. That's basically what Festus reviewed as he listened to Paul. He said, Paul, all this has made you crazy. And the truth is that you've become too involved. You've become overly zealous. You have been overtaken by this. You've lost your mind. Listen, you have become a fanatic about these things. You are inordinately passionate about it. You've gone too far. What I see in Festus is the voice of the world, Brother Jimmy. The voice of the world. And that is, man, listen, you need to become more balanced. You need to slow down just a little bit. And let's think about this thing. You need to become a little more well-rounded in your education. And the world's voice is that which, listen, you can't put too much into this or that. Festus was saying in the vernacular of the modern way that, you know, you can't put too much into all this philosophy and all the ideology and all speculations and all this religious stuff and spiritualism and religion and stories and fables. Listen, you've let this thing come and warp you. You've become crazy about this. You've become a fanatic about this. Hey, listen, you've gone too far. You're overtaxed. You're overzealous. Listen, you need to calm down a little bit and understand some things. Listen, you can't put too much stock in all this kind of stuff. That's the voice of the world today. You know, you need to be more well-rounded, balanced, a little bit of here, a little bit of that. Because, you know, as a matter of fact, nobody knows for sure. Nobody knows for sure. And so, Festus, as he evaluated this thing, would be like many today in the same positions. And they would say, well, truth is somewhat relative. That, you know, someone for them, this may be so, but somebody else it may not. And so, listen, Paul, you need to stop. Pull back a little bit and let's evaluate. Let's observe. Let's slow down. Let's look at some other things. Let's open our mind to some different concepts. And let's become broad-minded. And let's become well-rounded before we make these kind of conclusions. I've just given you an introduction into a philosophy class down at the university. And so, now wait a minute. You have to understand that tradition has brought a bunch of stories and fables from the past, and people had certain views. But this is a modern era. This is a new age, and we've got to learn to think a little differently. And time and culture and the evolution of man has brought him some new understanding about things. And some of the things that we thought by tradition were bad things or problem things, we've learned that, you know, we have a different view of life. It's part of the evolving process. It's part of the growing process. And so Festus is a very worldly man. He's a Roman. He's an official. And probably well-rounded in his educational system. He's reached a status here of intelligence, of status, of reputation. And so he says, Paul, listen, all this has made you crazy. But I want you to see Paul's response in verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Here's what the Apostle Paul was saying to correct him, and that is, listen, what I received and what I share is not based upon fables and ideologies and stories, but what I received came from the voice of God, that what I am sharing is the Word of God itself. You know what the Apostle Paul was saying to Festus? Festus, there is an absolute truth, and it comes from God. There is speculation and philosophy of man. There is observation and experimentation of man. But I want to tell you something, most noble Festus, and any other person worldly minded, that God knows everything. God makes no mistakes. God has a perfect knowledge, and when God speaks, it is absolute truth. And so, here's what Paul was sharing with Festus. Festus, listen, you're wrong. I am not crazy. I'm simply standing upon the truth that came from God. You want to take bits and pieces from all the compilation of man's thoughts and efforts? That's fine. But I am going to take my view of life and eternity from God. I am going to listen to the voice of God. You can listen to all the other voices. But I heard the voice from heaven. And he told me who he was. It wasn't some mysterious voice that did not identify itself. No. Matter of fact, this voice that came from heaven that turned my life completely around, this voice declared that it was indeed Jesus Christ, the crucified one, who is living, resurrected from the dead. I know not only that the Word of God is true, I know Jesus is God. There are many people in the world say, well now, there are many voices in the world. Many people claim divinity, and many people claim to be spiritual leaders, and there's this way and that way and the other way. The Apostle Paul said, listen, for you worldly folk, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you something. The voice that came from heaven was the voice of God. And it was Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now I want you to see something. Festus here, listen, also, he confronted him not only. I'm not crazy, but I speak the words of truth and soberness. Soberness is the opposite of intoxication. It is to be very clear in your thought process. It is to remove doubt and confusion. Soberness here, the Apostle Paul is making an emphasis. He said, now listen, this thing wasn't done in a corner. He said, Festus, I know without a doubt you know about all this stuff. You know about the testimony of Jesus Christ. You know, listen, you know concerning the miracles of Christ. You know the testimony of the 500 plus brethren who testified of His resurrection, having seen Him glorified. You know all about all this stuff that has been recorded because it wasn't done in a corner. Now here's the point He's making. He said, I am not crazy. I'm speaking the words of truth and soberness. Here's the soberness, the impact Paul is making. Hey, either it is true or it's not true. One of the truth. One of the two. Hey, either Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, the Savior, sent as God's Lamb to pay the price of man's sin, or He's the biggest fraud ever in human history. That is what soberness requires. He either is or he isn't. Either salvation is through Christ or it isn't. There can't be some middle ground. No, listen. If he is not who he claimed to be, and he's not whom the Bible portrayed him to be, then listen, that he cannot be those things. And so listen, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of man, then you can't classify him as good. He can't be good if he came and told us a bunch of lies. Either he is or he isn't. He told them that if they did not believe in him and did not receive his words, that you would die in your sin. He made that clear. He made it clear that he was the Son of God. He made it clear he was the Savior. He made it clear there was no heaven without him, without faith in him. He made it clear, my friend, he would resurrect the third day before he died. He told it. And listen, either it is all true, or it was all a fabrication. He's either all that he claimed, or he's the worst of the worst. That is truth and soberness. Isn't it amazing that so many people in our world today try to claim some middle ground about Jesus? That he was a good leader. He was a good prophet. He was a good example. Only in the sense that he told the truth. If he's not what he claimed to do. And listen, in all that he testified of what he accomplished, if he didn't accomplish it, he'd be the worst of the worst. Either the truth or the great deceiver. You see, Festus wants to take that middle road like so many. Now we'll take our information and we'll learn, and we'll take a little bit from this man, and we'll sit down, and boy, you can get some principles out of Confucius, and get some things from Plato and Socrates, and you can pull some things from Muhammad, and you can get some things, from Buddha's religion and this religion, and listen, there's some little good pieces in all of it, and a man needs to be well-rounded in his education. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, the claims concerning him in the Bible are very powerful and very precise. Jesus left no room for believing he was just one of good leaders, one of good humanitarians. The Bible announced him as the only begotten Son of God, as the Holy One, as the way, the truth, and the life. And listen, only by him could men be saved. Listen, that is the great presentation of Jesus Christ, that there is only one, and it is he, indeed, that we must put our faith in. And so Paul addresses Festus, and he's addressing the world. It is the worldly view. And here's the distinction. The Apostle Paul said, what you refuse to acknowledge, I am here to declare that there is absolute truth because God has spoken. God has spoken. There is absolute truth. In this world of chaos and confusion, of darkness, and every opinion and imagination in the world, you say, preacher, there's voices all over. Everybody claims this and that and the other. You say, what in the world are we going to do? We're going to go back to the one source where the Bible says, a holy Bible, where God himself has spoken. Listen, God is true. And everything God says is a perfect knowledge. And that I can know the truth. I can know the way to heaven. I can know a fellowship with God. I can know salvation. I can know my sins forgiven. Why? Because God himself has spoken. And when God speaks, it is absolute. So a man don't have to walk in darkness. You don't have to walk around stumbling to try to find the truth. You don't have to try to compile, some consensus of idea what's right or what's wrong. You just come back and listen to what God has said. And then notice what happens. We find that also that he had opportunity to speak before King Agrippa. Agrippa was a Hebrew. And notice Agrippa's concession. He said those famous words, which I believe, if he is not converted, will be words that are torturous throughout eternity. When he said almost. Almost. That's a powerful statement that the Hebrew dignitary said when he said, almost thou persuadest me. Notice what happened here in verse number 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We find here that the Apostle Paul presses Agrippa and he brings out the fact that Agrippa is one, listen, who had been convicted by the fact that he knew that the prophets indeed had spoken and that he believed that the prophets had told the truth. He believed that they were prophets of God. And we find that what Paul had done is he simply taken what the prophets had written about the Christ and showed him, as he did all the others, that Jesus Christ was the one true fulfillment of all that these prophets have spoke of concerning the great Christ, the Messiah. And notice here that Agrippa's voice becomes the voice of religious people. I didn't say saved people, but I said religion. The voice of religious people, the voice of a modern concept of Christianity. Agrippa, in essence, believed the Bible was true, yet he did not allow those truths into his heart. King Agrippa's testimony here, the almost, really becomes powerful in the fact that it represents so many. Festus became a type of the world, but here Agrippa becomes a type of the voice of religion. And that simply is this, that he did not deny. He would not come out and boldly say, Brother Freddie, that I don't believe any of the prophets. He wouldn't come out and say all that was fables and story tales and I don't believe any of it. No. He had been taught and had learned and had a respect and a certain reverence for what the prophets had said. Like many today. You know what's amazing to me? I know some people, I won't mention anything, but I know some people there. I've talked with them on several occasions. Lifetime thieves, drunkards, and drug addicts. If I sat down with them today, I guarantee you, if I sat down with them today and I said, you believe the Bible? You know what they'd say? Do you believe the story with Jesus was true? You know what they'd tell me? Yes, because they have. You know one person they wouldn't steal from? They'd never steal from mine. Never. Scared to. Wouldn't do it. There is a certain, though perverted, there is a certain perverted sense of respect and reverence. More like a superstition, I suppose, that they have. And I've had them come visit me. I've talked with them on occasion. Talked with them some. And, you know, it's a picture of a lot of folk today. If I sat down with most people that don't darken the door of the church, most people, if I sit down with Brother Cliff and I said, do you believe the Bible is a complete fraud or do you believe it's really the Word of God? You know what most people tell me? I believe it's the Word of God. Most people would tell me that. And thousands of folks through the years, most folk would say, do you believe Jesus was a scam or fraud? Oh, no. You believe that he was a wicked deceiver? Of course not. You believe Jesus was a good man? Well, of course I do. But here's the sad part. They acknowledge that what the Bible represents is true and what it stands for is true, and that it's truth in what it contains, but they will not allow that truth to penetrate their heart. King Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me." That is, he felt the burden of conviction. I listened that Paul had really confirmed it. He was actually seeing it and hearing it. It was being confirmed. He acknowledged that the fact that he almost came because of this testimony, because of the witness, because of his presentation of the gospel, because he saw it, because it was founded in the Old Testament. You brought me to that place, listen, of conviction where almost thou persuades me to be a Christian. And listen, but yet Agrippa will not allow that truth to penetrate his heart. Almost such a sad word for most time. It unveils the meaning of being incomplete, unsuccessful, loss, vanity, emptiness. Almost. Almost. That means so close, but not close enough. To be an almost Christian is to be lost forever. Be lost forever. Almost. Not quite. Agrippa, is it fake? Is it phony? Is it deception? Oh no! Are you a Christian? Almost. Almost. You and I, we're not told in the Bible specifically, but we certainly can understand in the nature of man that probably the pride of life, the love of sin, self, and the world is why he would not have received it. Could I tell you that there is a sense in which belief is not the same as saving faith. I want to be careful because the Gospel of John uses the word belief all through it. But the Bible is its own commentary, its own dictionary. And it reveals what this belief is because James said even the devils believe and tremble. Are the devils saved? No. The devils know it. They know it firsthand. They know who God is, they know who Jesus Christ is, and they know, listen, all of it's true. But they're not saved. You know what faith does? Faith is a belief that sees the reward. Faith sees the reward. Faith sees the hope. You know what happens to many people? They would not deny that it's true. They would never call Jesus a fraud. They had a respect for the Bible. They stop and they reference that at Christmas time, the birth of Christ. And they know Easter when Jesus died. And they even would testify that He rose from the dead. But they've never allowed those truths ever to penetrate their life. Why? Because without faith, they do not see it as a gain, as a reward. They see it as a loss. Agrippa, you know why he's almost a Christian? Because he cannot see the real benefit. He cannot see the reward of submitting himself to Christ. What a sad picture. What a sad picture. You see, my friend, when God opens your heart and you put faith in Christ, it's because you have seen the blessed hope of eternal life, of sins washed away, of a reconciliation with God, to be able to walk with God, to have God on my side, to know that Jesus is my Savior, to know I have a heavenly home, to know that forever I will be able to have God with me, and that He'll never leave me, and that God will be for me, and that He'll help me, that He'll bless me, and He'll lead me to glory. You see, the material worldly mind doesn't let truth penetrate their life because they don't see the reward and they don't see the value because they're obsessed with this life, obsessed with material things, obsessed with themselves in their own way, and the pride of life King Agrippa, almost, almost. You see, the apostle's testimony was confirmed by his passion, by his commitment, by his perseverance. One thing they knew about the apostle Paul, I guarantee he believed it. He believed it. He believed it. How do you know he believed it? Because he was passionate about it. Because he was committed to it. Because, listen, it stirred his heart. It lit a fire in him. And because he had a desire to tell others. You know why? Because he believed it was absolute truth that until men come to Christ, they are lost eternally and they'll spend eternity in hell without Christ. He believed it. Listen, when you believe something that's so vital, how in the world could you not be passionate about it? Huh? How in the world could you treat it as if it were just some simple knowledge that might help a person's life? We're talking about the eternal destinies of the souls of men. And the fact that we believe with all of our heart that there's only one way a man can be saved, and the truth is that any man can be saved if he'll come by faith to Christ, then how in the world could you not be passionate on something that's so glorious and such a unbelievable, tremendous, profound truth that men can be saved? The belief in that has to have a passion. And no wonder he said he did a great favor to the Apostle Paul. He did a great favor to him because he said, listen, all this has made you crazy. That is, you become a fanatic. Why? Why am I crazy? Why am I fanatic? Why am I passionate? Because it's true. And because it is the most important truth in all the world. And if men don't come to Christ, they'll spend eternity in hell. No wonder he's passionate. And you know what it left the palace with? I'll guarantee you one thing. That man believed. I'm going to leave this thought with you. The Apostle Paul made one impression before Festus and Agrippa. He wasn't no almost Christian. He was a 100%er. Let me ask you a very pointed question. You ever fill out them forms? You go to the hospital, what pain level you're in? You know. And then you have them other questions where you put, when you do a review for somebody, how was our service? Acceptable, somewhat acceptable, you know, great. And you have the little box check. If somebody did a survey of your life, and they got down to almost Christian or Christian or sold out Christian, what box are they going to check? I guarantee you, Apostle Paul, going all the way over to the right. But he's a real thing. He's a real thing. You know why? An atheist said one time, if I really believe what the Bible says, as you claim to believe it, that truth would be so profound, I'd have to tell everybody I ever met. What a sad thing when we claim to believe a truth, the most important thing in all the world, and have no passion, no desire to share it with someone else along the way. Oh, Agrippa, almost. The Apostle Paul sold out. The difference? Because Paul had received that truth in his heart. Agrippa acknowledged that it was true, but he didn't receive it.